Luke chapter 2, familiar pastoral scripture, I'm sure, if not all, to many, if not all here in this room, and those that have watched a Charlie Brown Christmas special or two, you probably have heard this passage a few times as well, all right? So, but Luke chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse number 8 this evening. So Luke 2 and verse number 8, Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And drop down to verse 15, please. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger." All right, let's bow for prayer, and we'll get into the message this evening. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we want to say thank you for what you have done for us already today, and again, bringing us in this evening, Lord, I pray you bless those that were able to make it into your house this evening, Lord. For those that were unable to make it, whether providentially hindered, Lord, or not feeling well, I pray that whatever the case might be, that Lord, that you would touch bodies. If there's ailments or sickness, whatever it might be, that would keep somebody away, Lord, would you grant healing so that we could be together again very, very soon? For those that are providentially hindered, I pray that, Lord, that even in the coming days, Lord, we'd be able to be together again. And Lord, for those that just simply chose not to, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that going forward there would be a burden and a desire, Lord, that there'd be conviction to be in your house, Lord, to be under the preaching of your word, regardless of whomever it is that is preaching. Lord God, I pray that you would do a work in those that are here this evening. Lord, I pray that you use this vessel in whatever way that you see fit. Would you guide and direct my thoughts and the words that will be shared, the message this evening? I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right. So, I'm going to put a title on this message. Please don't shoot me when I give you this title, but the title is Christmas Every Day. Yes, I realize we're in February. We're about 6.5 weeks from Christmas. I get that, all right? But bear with me for a moment here, and we'll explain why the title Christmas Every Day. December 25th, we set that day has been set aside on our calendar to celebrate the day our Savior was born. Whether or not it was December 25th when the pastoral scripture we read today, that's neither here nor there, all right? But that is the day set aside on our calendar where we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Christ the Lord. And let's just take a moment, just think about a celebration. Think about celebrations here. Our celebrations typically, or do you hear noisemakers? And you hear there's normally a lot of excitement that goes on with the celebration. It's typically not a quiet event. Typically, it's a joyous event. And there's normally a purpose. There's a reason for the celebration. Whether it's, hey, somebody just reached 20 years or they're retiring, or hey, they've reached this milestone, or you've reached 30 years old. There's somebody in here that's close to being, nope, he's not in the room, but somebody that's close to being 30 here, Evan Dewey, by the way. But no, when you reach those milestones, or those celebrations are typically an exciting time. They're joyful. There's normally a purpose. There's a reason for the occasion that's taking place. Now, when we think of celebration, when we think Christmas, think celebration, celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, what does that mean? What are we celebrating when we celebrate Jesus being born? Well, let's, by way of introduction here, let's take look at a couple of things here in our message before we get into the main part of this, but let's consider who this baby is. There was an angelic declaration that was made. In chapter 2 of Luke, we see here the shepherds, they're in the field keeping watch over their sheep, and all of a sudden, there's an angel that's appearing in the sky in front of them. Typical night in the fields. So you get that, right? So typical night, angel appears. Yeah, probably not so typical. But he tells them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And then the declaration, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." There's a reason to celebrate. "For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is," or which is, "Christ the Lord." So there was an angelic declaration was made. Who is this baby? Well, first off, he's the Savior. He's a Savior. Now, as Christians, that's a reason enough to rejoice. He is the Savior, named Jesus, whose name means Jehovah saves. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to get over in the book of Matthew here in just a moment, but Matthew chapter 1 gives us the reason behind that name, Jesus, for he would come to save his people from their sins. This baby is the Savior. He is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elias, some say you're the prophet. "But who do you say I am?" he says to his disciples. And what is Peter's declaration? "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one that would take away the sin of the world. He is Jesus. This baby, the reason for celebration, he's the Savior, he's the Christ, he is the Lord. And when you just think of the word Lord, not necessarily capital L-O-R-D, because we know when you see that in Scripture, that's talking about Jehovah God. But that word Lord, if we just break down in its simplest form, the word behind that is master, a ruler, a governor, a king per se. But really, when we think of the word Lord, think of the word master, but also ruler. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew and the book of Isaiah here. So Matthew and then Isaiah. So Matthew 1 and then Isaiah chapter 9. Matthew 1 and Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to move quickly here. So I'm going to go ahead and read these as you turn. But Matthew chapter 1, we have the wise men who are visiting Jerusalem. They come to Herod the king and ask, "Hey, where the king of the Jews is?" And Herod is troubled, all him and all of Jerusalem. And in verse 4, we see that Herod has demanded of his chief priests and scribes, "Where is this king of the Jews supposed to be? Where is he at?" And we find in verse number 5, they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least, among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor." And note, capital G on that governor, "that shall rule my people Israel." And then Isaiah in chapter number 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall there be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." So this baby, this baby, reason to celebrate, he is the Savior, he is Christ, he is the Lord, Christ the Lord, he is Emmanuel, chapter number Matthew 1. He is the King of the Jews, he is the Governor, the Prince of Peace. There was reason to celebrate that night for those shepherds, but even for us, there is a reason to celebrate. So we see an angelic declaration, but then we also see the shepherd's reception. So back in Luke chapter 2, we also find in that declaration that the angels gave, they said where this baby was going to be born, or where this baby was born, and in the city of David, which we know that is Bethlehem. Verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And the Bible tells us they were so afraid. So we've got their reception here. First off, they're afraid. But then they're comforted. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. They were fearful, but then there was comfort there. And so then what happens? Then there's some astonishment, of course. Then you see this angel, but then we didn't read it. But then you know the scripture, a multitude of the heavenly host appears in the sky. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. There was some astonishment there. But then, verse 15, they were compelled. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Which will lead us now into the crux of the message, what I wanted to get to. We've got these men here who are astonished, yet they were compelled to do something. And this is, and their responses here, the actions that we see the shepherds take in our text this evening, and we're also going to look at the wise men as well, will give us and see some similarities in those pastoral scriptures, what those men did when they found our Savior, when they found the Savior. We'll see some actions that they took that we too can take today. All right? So it can be, and as it ought to be, Christmas every day. So you're in Luke 2. Put a bookmark there, and let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Luke 2, we're going to be back and forth between Luke 2 and Matthew chapter 2. And again, we're going to look at the shepherds and the wise men and see what they did. First off, we know that they received a message. They received the message. The angel came to the shepherds. Shepherds said, unto you born this day, city of David, Christ the Lord. They go. They receive that message. How about the wise men? What does it say in Matthew chapter number 2? Verse number 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in these days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, whether they were given, whether they read scripture or scrolls or they were taught this, they realized that there is something that they need to see, something, someone very special that they need to see. They were given a message. They received that message. And the first thing that both the shepherds and the wise men did was they simply just followed. They simply followed what they were given, that message they were given. Shepherds, hey, the Savior is born in Bethlehem. Wise men, follow that star. We see the star. Follow that star to the king of the Jews. They were given a message. We see the shepherds guided by the angel. We see the wise men guided by the star. Now, think about, I realize that when we talk about the wise men, or we can assume that they've got an education, that they've read the red scrolls, they've read through history, that they're taking what Scripture says and moving to where the Savior is. Well, can I say that they followed the Word of God? What should we be doing on a daily basis? Following what God's Word says and as He reveals that to us. As His Holy Spirit prompts us to do whatever it is, what ought to be our response? Follow that leading, obey. Hey, nothing new, nothing new here, but that's just a reminder. The message that you're given, follow. That's what the shepherds and wise men do. Secondly, we see worship. We see worship. Let's stay in Matthew 2, then we're going to get back over to Luke chapter 2, but let's see the wise men. We have here, their worship was, they gave their best. They gave their best. In Matthew 2, verse 11, let's see, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Dare I say, they gave the best, what they had. Now, I don't have, the full disclosure here, I don't have gold bars sitting in my backyard saying, hey, everybody come over, grab one, all right? I don't have that, all right? So I don't have the best in that regard, All right. Don't look in my wallet because there's not a whole lot there either. So, full disclosure on that. Gold, frankincense. You've probably heard explanations on the significance behind these gifts that were presented. But they gave the best for the king. What about the shepherds? What do they have to bring? Do you think that the sheep over here was sitting on covering a hole that had all their gold and all their frankincense and myrrh? Do you think they had a sheep like that? My guess is no. They're sitting in the field watching sheep. But the Bible does tell us that when they said one to another, hey, let's go to Bethlehem, they went with haste, and they just went with what they had. They just said, hey, we're here. We're presenting ourselves because you're our Savior. You're our Messiah. You are the Christ. So worship. Give what you have. Give your best. It may not be as good as maybe somebody else's best, but what God has given to you, give that. We see them following. We see both groups worshiping. Then they're proclaiming a message. They're proclaiming, really, to the world that was in front of them, where's the King of the Jews? We want to go see him. Hey, the Savior is born. Everybody, you need to know. What do we have? In Matthew 2, the wise men, they came to Judea in the days of Herod the king, and they came wise men from the east saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, what was the response? For we have seen his star in the east, and we find Herod and the people are, the Herod and those that are close to him, they're troubled. Now, I'm sure this has never happened to any one of us in this room, all right? When you talk about God to somebody who's not saved or is just running from God, whenever you mention the name of God, they don't get mad at you. They're like, oh yeah, that's awesome. I want to hear all about this. Yeah, not so much. Have you ever had a conversation and you said, praise God, or praise the Lord, and you've irked somebody, you got them a little annoyed or a little agitated? That's never happened to anybody in here, right? But troubled, agitated, disturbed, annoyed. That's kind of what Herod is feeling. How dare these guys come in, and probably the people that are with Herod, how dare these guys come in and say, hey, where's the King of the Jews? They're talking to Herod the king. How dare they? When we have the slightest mention of God or Jesus in conversations with somebody who's not really in favor of God or Jesus, how have those conversations gone? But that's kind of what these men are facing here. Now, they probably don't realize this, but we have some troubled, agitated, annoyed, perhaps even angry people. But how about in the shepherd's case? Let's go back to Luke 2. The shepherds. Bible says in verse number 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Completely different response. We find people, they wondered. They were affected by what these shepherds, these lowly shepherds, if you will, what they were saying. Hey, this Savior, Christ, this baby that's born tonight, our Savior is born, the Messiah is here. And it caused people to probably just go, maybe that's true. The Savior is born? Oh man, that's great. But their words brought wonder. Wonder is, I looked up this dictionary, the word in the dictionary, the 1828, it says, wondered, the effect of novelty just being something new, upon ignorance. The effect of novelty upon ignorance. Something new, and what were the people ignorant of? The Savior that was born. And it brought wonder. And even with Mary, what's the Bible say? Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So we see both groups, they followed the message they were given. They worshiped the Savior. They proclaimed the message of the Savior. And then lastly, they glorified God. For the shepherds, we see in verse 20 of chapter 2, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. When was the last time that we glorified God for what He's done in our lives? What He's done in somebody else's life? When was the last time we gave Him glory? For the wise men, I believe it was insinuated in the gifts that they gave. We do see when they found the child that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. But I also think in the gifts that they gave, it insinuated their glorifying of God. You see, Matthew Henry puts it this way. Having found the King, the wise men sought, they presented themselves first and then their gifts to Him. They presented themselves in that they fell down and worshiped Him, and then they presented their gifts to Him. In Eastern nations, when they would pay homage to the kings, they would make presents. They would offer gifts. Well, guess what? Where's the King of the Jews? And they gave gold, perhaps represent Him as a king, paying Him tribute. Frankincense, seeing Him as God, for they honored God with the smoke of incense, and then myrrh as a man that should die. For myrrh was used in embalming dead bodies. I believe they realized the whole scope of who that child was. And it brought them joy to meet and to see their Savior. Again, when was the last time we gave God glory, even for like the smallest thing in our lives? If the only thing that God ever gave to us was eternal life, honestly, that should be enough to joy, to glory, and give Him the praise that He deserves. So just to wrap this up here, what did these men do again? They followed. And following can be life-changing. Think about the lives of those shepherds that night. Probably falling asleep and perhaps even drooling on themselves like, whoa. To life-changing, Savior-born, let's tell everybody about Him. Or how about in Herod's case? He didn't. In fact, we know that he wants to kill the Savior. He wants to kill all the babies that were born at that time, but he wants to kill the Savior. And he himself, well, as far as we know, he didn't turn to Christ. And when one doesn't turn to Christ, there's eternal separation, life-changing. Eternal separation from God. But following can be life-changing because it depends upon who or what you're following. Let me give you this example here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible says that no man can serve two masters, else he will love the one and despise the other. I'm paraphrasing here. And then the last part of that verse says, for ye cannot serve God and mammon. Is it following God? And if I can put it this way, or is it following self? Life-changing decision. But they followed, and that's what we can draw from that. When we worship, don't delay. If God gives you something to praise Him for, I would encourage you, take the time just to say, thank you, Lord. Even offer Him up a prayer. Even offer up praise to Him. But don't delay. Be as those shepherds. They came with haste. Don't think that the worship that you give God isn't worth it. Because it is. Even when you're in the doldrums, if you will, and you just don't feel like giving Him praise, that's the time we should. Don't think that formality or going through the motions will get the worshiping done, because what worship ought to be is an overflow of the Holy Spirit's already working in and through each of us. Think of those wise men again. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They were given a message. They followed that message. They obeyed, They saw the fruit of that and rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then that message that they proclaimed. You know what? When we proclaim the message of Christ, you know what it's going to do? It's going to cause people to be skeptical. Ah, that Jesus, he was just a good teacher. He just spoke good words. He did a few miracles. Whatever. But is that really all there is about Jesus? Jesus loves them. But again, when we speak about our Savior, skeptics will rise. It'll disturb and agitate others. It may cause some to search, some to wonder, some to ponder, and even some to praise. What is our speech like? Are we proclaiming the message of Christ? In fact, the reason why I say it's ought to be Christmas every day, because these actions, following, worshiping, proclaiming, and glorifying, are actions that we ought to take every single day. Again, think of a celebration. Is it quiet? Or are there noisemakers? Are there streamers? Or is it just black balloons? Oh, no, we're not going to go there. All right? But celebration, it's not quiet. It's joyous. We have a reason to celebrate our Savior being born. Why? So that he would one day die to pay for our sins so that we could have eternal life. Don't take for granted what God has revealed to you in his word. And take the opportunities that you have to worship him because of who he is and what he has done. Don't simply go through the motions. Praise God that we have his spirit to lead us and to guide us in all of these areas. Christians, it really ought to be Christmas every day, even on February 9th. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for this day that you've given to us and for this time we're able to have in your word, to be able to worship you here a little while ago. Heavenly Father, I pray that the things that we quickly went through this evening would be just a help and really just a reminder of what we ought to be doing each and every day. And I know there's many other things that could have been mentioned and even thoughts that could have been shared. Lord, I believe these are just the things that you'd have us be reminded of this evening. Lord, that as you lead us, we are to follow, that as we follow you, we're to give you the worship that you deserve and worship you in spirit and in truth. We ought to tell others about you and then just give you the glory in all that you do. And Lord, I pray that these would be everyday occurrences and that, Lord, that you'd be pleased with how we live for you. Lord God, I pray that your hand be upon the remainder of the service time that we have together, the prayer time, as well as the Ladies' Missions Fellowship. I ask and pray these things in your name. Amen.